So this webcast is being recorded for placement on the CCPI STEM website. While we are waiting to get started, please place yourself on mute and type your name and affiliation into the chat box if you have not done so already. Toward the end of the presentation, we will have a Q&A session where you can type your questions in the chat box. So we just kindly ask if you just hold your questions till the end. It'll help us get through the webcast quicker. And without further ado,
right now to drag.
Can somebody mute themselves, please? It is my honor to welcome today's speakers. I am honored to be co-presenting with Dr. Elizabeth Tellis, who is a founding co-lead of the NSF ATE program. She is co-PI of the Mentor Up project. She is senior advisor on this project, CCPI STEM, and also senior advisor to the Mentor Connect project. She's a former mathematics professor from Montgomery College in Maryland. I've already introduced myself, but I serve as the principal investigator for FORCE ATE, and you'll learn more about that a little bit later. I'm also co-PI on this ATE project. We nicely call SIPI STEM. Senior Professor Emerita of Computer Science and Cybersecurity at Union College in New Jersey, and I welcome my colleagues from Union College today. So today's topics, we're going to talk about how can the NSF ATE program help your institution, what is needed for a successful ATE grant proposal, how can college leadership assist with the ATE grant preparation process, what resources are available to help apply for and secure an NSF ATE grant, and why connect with an ATE mentoring initiative like Mentor Up or FORCE ATE. Then we'll have that Q&A session that we talked about. So at this, so how can the NSF ATE program help your institution? Curriculum development. I had an ATE grant at Union College, and we put in a new program on cyber forensics. Curriculum development could include certificates, courses, capstone experiences. You can create programs aimed at improving student retention and success. You can improve faculty development, give them new industry, and you can have teacher development and outreach programs for K through 12. Now, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Dr. Elizabeth Tellis.
Okay, thank you so much for all of y'all attending. I notice it's a nice combination of administrators and faculty and stuff. And actually, one of the things we'll keep talking about is this faculty team and faculty teaming up with administrators that make for successful ATE proposals and projects. So what do you need? You certainly need a project champion. Someone's going to have to serve as a primary contact with NSF on this. And it's going to be someone who has a passion for what they have seen a need, see new program that needs to be developed, some new connections with industry and things like that. And then you need additional faculty from the same or different institutions. If you're putting in a consortium grant, it'll probably be led by one of the institutions, but the co-PIs and the faculty team might be from two or three others, because notice it's a $3 million opportunity if three community colleges go together to do some project. So you need a strong project team, but you got to have executive advocates. You really need senior administrators, deans, department chairs to support and assist this. You know, it should be matched with the strategic plan of the institution. You need some supporting institutional infrastructure. Now, we know at some small colleges, some of these may be all into one person, but, you know, if you get the support of the institutions, the grants office, if you have one, the institutional research office, human resources, accounting, marketing, if the more institutional research infrastructure you have, the better it'll be. You're going to need some external partners. In particular, you need to have the external partners be with business and industry, you know, employers in general, because a lot of governments hire these people too. So you are going to need some external partners. You may be working with high schools. You may be working with four-year institutions. So you'll have other partners. And then you'll just have other people you may hire. to hire some consultants with some special things that they know about. You probably have to have an evaluator. And then there's this technical team. So there's just a lot of people that need to be involved. But today, I think we're primarily talking to the project champion and the administrator. So, but how can college leadership help with this? They need to champion your program. They need to be behind you. The more that they're behind you and the more that you're behind them, and keep these things noticed, it's a team effort. College leadership need to provide time and opportunity for, they need to encourage PIs to develop the proposal and to carry it out. The college leadership can help by empowering the grants offices and accountings and all these other departments on campus to serve and work with the project and stuff like that. They can talk about the project. So the project administrators should know enough about the project. They can talk about it with other people at the college and also with external people, maybe their board of trustees, their business and industry partners, their other colleges in the area, so they can definitely help you with disseminating. And then they can support collaborations. They may actually, some of the administrators may actually start out by connecting some departments with some business and industry needs. Next slide. But I think what you all came really for to hear today was what resources are available to help you apply and secure an NSF ATE grant this year. And, you know, in any of these mentoring things, we'll be talking about those institutional teams that you need to put together and things. So we're particularly going to talk about two that are still open for proposals that'll come in this October. Okay, so the two we're going to emphasize today, we'll mention some of the others at the end, but the two we're emphasizing today are this October. So one is MentorUp. This is one where I'm a co-PI on it. It focuses really on manufacturing, engineering, technology, mechatronics, any of the science technologies such as biotechnology, energy, chemical technology, nanotechnology, remote sensing, and really any technician program supported by the ATE, including what would be the technical core and the connections of your programs with the high school. So we'll be glad to do that. There's a web address. And now Dr. Harthorn is going to tell you a little bit about 4C. I would say these are sister workshops. We do many of the same things, but we do have some primary differences.
Thank you. Yes, FORCE ATE stands for Fortifying Cybersecurity and Computing Education Through ATE Grants. We like the word FORCE, makes it much easier to roll off the tongue. And we focus on cybersecurity, digital cyber forensics, Internet of Things, security of unmanned aerial vehicles, drones, in other words, all disciplines of computing, such as IT, computational science, data analytics, blockchain technology, cloud and mobile computing, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. My background is as a computer scientist in cybersecurity. We are also looking closely into the CHIPS and Science Act of 2022. We've had some inquiries about that. And next slide. Back to Dr. Tellis.
Okay, so why should you connect with an ATE mentoring initiative? Or if you're an administrator, why should you encourage some of your faculty to apply to one of these mentoring initiatives? First of all, what we do is that we pair mentees with mentors who've had extensive experience in the ATE program. Most of our mentors, in fact, all of our mentors have had numerous ATE grants, so they know the process, they know how to go about doing it. And some of them are also former ATE program officers, so they kind of know the program inside out. I've done some of the mentoring myself in some of these programs, and so we try to match particular people with that expertise. We focus on successful strategies for project development and proposal preparation. So all of us kind of know the successful strategies, what works, what does that. We help guide the proposal writing for all sections of the proposal, of the body of the proposal. But we also help you write all those other things. So we help with budget preparation. We help with evaluation. We can sometimes connect you with some evaluators who've done good work in the ATE program. We help with the creation of NSF forms. I would say NSF has a lot of forms. It's good to have some examples of these. We help people do their bio sketches. One of the things we've noticed is that community college faculty often don't know how to put their best foot forward. So they leave out things that they've done that are tremendous. So it's been important for us to help make the bio sketches, that we provide examples of successful ATE proposals. So we have permission to use some ATE proposals in our workshops. And we use it kind of as a mock review so that people can see some things that have actually been funded and use them as models. Certainly you don't want to do the same thing, but use them as models. And then our mentors and the program leads really do stay informed about the changes to the ATE program and their frequent changes. And also to NSS, it's called the PAPPG sometime. But what it really is tells you the requirements to submit for ATE proposals. So this is one of the reasons we think you should connect with it. So these are some, there are many others though too. And I would say, you know, we've got all the mentoring things have pretty good success rates too. So since I'm a co-PI on Mentor Up, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and then Dr. Hawthorne will talk about FORCE. So what are the goals of the Mentor Up? Well, really, it's to broaden knowledge, build capacity, increase access to ATE, and we want to increase the number of competitive ATE proposals to the October 5th deadline. We also want to help increase not only the number of competitive ones, but the one number that actually get funded. So what are some of the activities? Well, MentorUp asks you to have a faculty team of at least two people. We have had ones with one person, but with teams of two people just work better and supported by a grant writer, an administrator, or someone. And we assign a mentor to the team. Okay. I tell you the deadline right now for submission is April 1, and we usually assign the mentor no later than May 1, okay, because we want to be sure there's a good match there. What activities do we have? Well, once you assign a mentor in by May 1, and often earlier than that, then you can start working with them on developing your project ideas and some of the things. We have a 2.5-day virtual workshop in June. And then we have some post-workshop support is provided. So we have at least three webinars during months of July that focus on evaluation. One focuses on filling out all those NSF forms and one focuses on budget. And then we continued support through the NSF negotiation. So, you know, hopefully you're one of those 70 to 80% that'll get questions from NSF. And we found that even when you're answering those questions or negotiating with NSF, it's helpful to have one. And just in the case that it doesn't get funded, we support you through a resubmission the following year. And we've had very good success with those that have done resubmissions. Next slide. So project proposals are encouraged from all community colleges and in all areas of technology supported by ATE, included but not limited to new to ATE. Kind of traditionally, about 2/3 of our institutions have had a prior NSF grant, either their current one, but some other people want to do it, or follow up on the project ideas, or it's been 5 or 10 years since you've had a grant, and so you want to come. But we also do about 1/3 of ours are institutions that are new to the ATE program or campuses that are new. You know, NSF, lots of colleges have many campuses. And so, you know, there's a special opportunity for those that are new to ATE. Our registration is open through April the 1st. It is an online there. The workshop dates are June 14th to the 17th. That's a Wednesday to a Friday. It usually starts at about 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning. It is held virtually. It is held on Zoom. We use a lot of breakout rooms so that people meet with their mentors. And, you know, we do things like mock reviews of proposals so you can see some actual things that are funded. That's probably one of the things people like best about these workshops. We do provide a stipend of $500 to each of two faculty members once they attend the workshop. And then if the proposal is actually submitted, there's another $250 upon submission of the proposal. The project is not limited to two faculty members since we do it virtually. You can have as many members on your team as you like. Some of our successful ones have used all the co-PIs and have had administrators and a couple of people from the grants office. It's also a good learning experience from the grants office to participate in these kind of workshops too. We can only provide the stipend, however, for two faculty members. Our biggest team, I think, was seven. So anyway, since it's virtual, people like doing these kinds of things. As a little extra incentive, the registration will pay the registration for two faculty to attend the high tech conference in Atlanta in July. However, this is a little bit of a little extra thing here. To get that registration, you have to send in your paper by March 15th. Okay, so it's a little incentive. You got a week to get this idea in if you like. And then the draft proposal, once you think you've got it ready and ready to go, then either I'll review your draft proposal, and we've had really high success rate, or Kathleen at Alfano. Everybody doesn't manage to get their proposal prepared as soon enough for us to do it, because I do need a week to be able to review these, but the draft proposal, and we found that those who submit this draft proposal and let one of us review it are particularly competitive. Next slide. So the application, what do you have to do to apply? You have to have a one-page project description. It's not a burdensome amount, but we got to know what it is that you want to do. Be sure it fits in the ATE program. You got to have a support letter from an administrator. We have to be sure that the college supports what it is. It is not a lone ranger out there and not doing something that doesn't fit with the college plan. And we need the name of the two faculty members who are going to attend the virtual workshop and any others. The form actually only has room for three people. So once we get that, you can just send us the name other ways. So it's submitted to atementorup.org. It's easy to remember. If you want to discuss your ideas, here's some contact information. And I will tell you, I'm more than happy to, my email is erejtellus@yahoo.com. I'm more than happy to read those one pages, or if you don't even have a page, if you've got a paragraph, I'm more than happy to read that if you send it to me. And also, if you'd like to set up a Zoom meeting with me or a teleconference of some sort of that, I'd be happy to participate in that too. So we just hope you all apply, because we really want to make sure that the ATE program continues to grow and support community colleges. Dr. Hawthorne?
I muted myself too early.
Sorry. We just had lots of good testimonials. I just asked a couple of people what they said about it. And I highlighted the parts in these that I think are particular thing. It says down there, new PIs and co-PIs would not have been able to navigate the process from project concept to the awarded grant without this workshop. And the other one says, it really made a difference between writing a proposal and presenting a fundable project. So we really think that's what mentoring is about. It's a difference between just writing a proposal and actually presenting something that's fundable. Now I think I'm done.
Thank you, Dr. Tellus. So I'm going to talk a little bit about fortifying cybersecurity and computing education through ATE grants, a new kid on the block in the mentoring initiatives. So as I said previously, FORCE focuses on all disciplines of cybersecurity and computing. We have experienced ATE mentors trained with ICF coaching skills. So we call our mentors mentor coaches, and we pair them with a mentee team. And we work April through October, actually the 5th, on the submission deadline, but we really, really try to get them to submit before then. We also work with them through the NSF negotiations that we finally call the tunnel. And that's usually anywhere between 3 to 6 months after submission. We're going to have an in-person workshop June 12th through the 15th at Prince George's Community College in Largo, Maryland. And it's a short train, metro train ride to Washington, D.C. So our teams last year took advantage of that nice location. After the workshop, they took a day and went in to see the monuments. June 12th is a Monday. We actually start with a kickoff dinner at 6 o'clock at the hotel. And then the next 3 days will be in a beautiful campus of Prince George's. We have travel and training stipends provided for the faculty members and a dean. And we're having a special session for deans led by Dean Heather Rutkowski from Jackson College in Michigan. This is a picture on the left that I call the Jackson College Dream Team. Dean Heather is in the center there with a white shirt on, and those are her two faculty members, Angel and Diane, and they submitted a proposal on blockchain last year. So that's up and coming technology. And then other picture here is just kind of an aerial view of our mentee teams with their mentor coaches in front of the new theater at Prince George's Community College. And then I have a little testimony from one of our mentee teams that said this was the best professional development experience that they've ever attended. Okay, so our application is also due April 1, like Mentor Up. Our application is online. You can kind of see that screenshot in the middle there. So we also require a letter of commitment from a senior administrator, like a vice president or president. We have a lead faculty member. They'll put their information in the online application, a second faculty member, dean information. If you would like to send your grant writer along, they're very welcome. We just don't have stipends for the grant writer. We have stipends for the faculty member and the dean. So the address is forceate.org/menteeapplication, and it'll step you through it. Feel free to contact me at the email address on your screen, ekhawthorne@gmail.com. I'm happy to answer any questions, you know, shoot around some ideas, what you might be thinking about. If you don't have a project in mind, it's just kind of a kernel of an idea, I'm happy to talk about that. Like Dr. Tellis, we can jump on Zoom or a phone call, whatever's easy for you. So we really hope to have a full cohort this year down at Prince George's Community College. We worked hard, but we also had fun in the meantime. And you might see us out on social media. This was a recent post out on LinkedIn. Join the cohort by April 1st, mentor and stipend provided. And I believe it's back to you, Dr. Tellis.
Yep. So Mentor Up and Force ATE are not the only mentoring opportunities. There are others. And so all of these would be available if you're not ready for this October. If you're thinking about a year from now, then there's five that you can think about that they're each unique. Mentor Up and Force will both have an opportunity for 2024. So if you think it may be a year before you're ready, you can start thinking about it. We plan to have approximately the same deadline and the same date next year. Again, remember, Mentor Up is virtual and Force is in person. So that's another difference in the two. Then there are three others that'll be available for October. I'm going to give a brief sentence about them, but I would tell you, you need to contact, either look on their website or contact the main person at these. One is Mentor Connect. That's the oldest of the ones, and maybe one people have heard about it. For until maybe last year, their total focus was on new to ATE. I think they now take teams that are new, even if the institution have had them. Those are full year things. So their deadline is usually in October for the following October. And they have an in-person workshop, usually in February, sometime late January. So that's one. If you're interested in that, contact Elaine Kraft. Or if you don't know how to contact them, send me an email and I'll put you in contact with them. Pathways to Innovation, that's led by Ann Behela in Texas. The emphasis on that is building business and industry teams to work with institutions to prepare one that particularly goes with that. They also have some just training of how to prepare these business and industry teams. And then there's Project Vision that's led by Kevin Cooper at Indian River Community College in Florida. And they work with institutions to connect their projects to the strategic plan of the institutions. I don't know if you're really getting the differences here, but all of these and the project vision, usually they sometime this next summer, because they like to work with the institution, they send someone to the institution to help develop these projects. So, but again, Mentor Connect, Pathways Innovation, and Project Vision would not be the ones for this October that you'd be. The Pathways to Innovation does have a June workshop, but our understanding is that they're full at the moment. Okay.
Okay, so we went through a lot of information in a short amount of time. So what we'd like to do at this point is two things. Put your questions or comments in the chat box while I launch a poll. We'd like to just get some quick feedback about this webcast. We've been doing this for all our webcasts, so I'm going to launch the poll here. And as you think about questions, you can also take a few minutes to answer 5 poll questions. And we really appreciate the feedback. It helps us improve from webcast to webcast. Okay, let me check the chat while that's going on. So this is, okay, from Georgette, will the PowerPoint be shared after the webinar? Great question. The slides as well as the recording of this webcast will be posted on the CCPI STEM website, and I'll put that link in the chat in just a moment. I have to shell out to get that to put in there. So we have the video recording, the audio recording, and the slides, so those will be shared. We had another question here. I'm going to throw it to you, Dr. Tellis. This is from Terry Kidd. The webcast was good. We have 2 ideas that would be worth exploring. Do you want to kind of respond to, they have 2 ideas, and I'm reading into this. Not sure if you go for both, or how do you whittle it down to one?
The ATE program now, it used to only allow 1 from an institution, but the ATE program will accept 2 from the same institution. You got to be a little bit careful with that. I mean, I think that's one of the things mentoring could tell you, which one may be more ready for this year and which one might be more ready for the following year. But certainly you can go with more than one. You know, if you've got more than one, I don't, you know, maybe one of them fits more into the cyber IT, one fits more into ours. You might send one to one of the workshops and one to the other. I think the first thing to do might be for you to set up a little time or send one of us a paragraph about what it is you think you want to do.
Very good. Thank you. We have a comment from just Faisal. He's a Security coordinator at HCCC. So I guess that could be many things. Harris County Community College in Pennsylvania, Hillsborough Community College in Tampa. So Faisal, thank you for that. Let's move on here. We had a direct message. Oh, here we go. Where do I start from? And is there a roadmap with all the steps and dates? So what, Faisal, I just saw your follow-up message here. So what I will do is I'll put in the chat the link to the FORCE website as well as my email address, and feel free to follow up with me and I can help you with that roadmap.
Thank you. I think Fran are going to actually put in the flyers for ATE and FORCE. One of the nice things about it is both of us have an April 1 deadline this year, so that's pretty easy. The others would be on their website, and the CCPI website will have information with connections to all of them, and I think we can probably add to that to what the dates are for that. But I know at least for these two, the two we've emphasized today, the deadline's April 1 of this year. So,
okay, we have another question I'm going to toss to you, Dr. Tellis, from Susan Gallagher. She says, this may have been answered toward the end of the presentation. I don't know if our project concept will be fleshed out in time to apply by April 1, but we will have the opportunity to apply. Will we have the opportunity to apply next year and or apply to a different mentoring resource? Is that correct?
Yes. The answer is, if you don't think you can get it together by then, although some of you may actually be further along than you think you are. So I guess I would encourage you, even if you don't totally have it fleshed out, we don't expect you to have a totally fleshed out idea by April 1. We do have to know that it's going to fit in the program because we're using NSF and ATE resources to give these workshops and to provide the stipends and to make sure the mentors do that. So we want to be sure it fits. But yes, all five of the mentoring projects have will be available for mentoring for October of 2024.
Right. And she follows up and said, and I think you may have answered this, Dr. Tellis, but she said, how far along would your concept have to be to apply by April 1? Do you want to tackle that? And then I have a thought on that as well.
Well, it's got to be at least far enough along to make it competitive. We only have room for 16 teams, you know, although since it's virtual, we can usually take an extra few in if we have when we feel like, you know, to leave anybody out would just be not good. But so the answer is it's got to be far enough along to you would be competitive, right? Because it's work to put these proposals together and you're using faculty time and you're asking administrators to make sure it fits in. So, but we certainly don't expect anything close to a totally fleshed out idea. The ones I've mentored that kind of known how far they know that, for example, they knew they wanted to do, they wanted to expand their Megatronics program to high schools and things and all these things. They didn't have all the details of what they did, but they at least knew that they were going to focus this on a Megatronics program. So anyway, this may help you a little bit, if not. Ask me again or send me something and I'll try to provide you. You've got an email address for us. And I'm, you know, again, I'm willing, I'm not going to give the telephone number out because I get so much spam anyway, but I'm more than happy to, you know, to talk to you, I guess. Okay.
So I would just like to dovetail onto that, Dr. Tellis, just with an example that happened at Force last year during the application process. Somebody had an idea, and then when they started working with the mentor and through the workshop, the idea totally changed. And that's fine for Force. You know, we so if you have, you know, a good idea, just be open that through this process, it may tweak this way or that way. So it's not cast in stone for Force what you put in.
Okay. I have one, you know, I guess I would say, sorry, I was NSF for 28 years, all the time working in the ATE program. I've talked to a lot of people over the years about their ideas and about what seems to be competitive and what's where you need to put your resources and your things. Some things just don't fit, okay? And you wouldn't want to spend some time doing something that just won't fit.
Okay, so we have a couple more questions. Dr. Tellis, I'm going to throw this one to you. Are there multiple times to apply for mentor programs, or is it only one time a year per application?
We just give one workshop a year. And so I think all of them have just one deadline a year, but, you know, they go over the years, but that's it. The one that I think has a little bit of a rolling deadline, which you would need to talk to them about, for people don't need a formal workshop presentation, I think Mentor Connect. But again, they've got a deadline. We have to have deadlines. If we don't have deadlines, we don't know how to put up consistent program together for you. So I think they all have one deadline a year.
Yeah, Force only has one deadline a year. So we have a question from Amanda. She would like to know if this applies to her, that she would like to be a mentee, part of a mentee team rather than a mentor. So I would say yes, Amanda. If you want, you have an idea and you would like to apply it to either mentor up or force, we will pair, and if your application is accepted to the mentoring initiative, you will be paired with a mentor. So Dr. Tells, do you have anything else to add to that?
Yes, I know that Mentor Connect has a training for mentees. So I think if you interested in that, you know, they have a kind of year of training people to be a mentor, where they kind of work with an experienced mentor before they go out on themselves on a mentee. So the answer is that. I see a question coming up that I want to answer. You've got to attend these workshops to get these funded proposals, because otherwise, you know, that's part of the teaching process. It's not just proposals that we put out on the web that you can look at. The value of it is working through it with your mentor to kind of see what were particularly good in that proposal, what were some of the concerns, what we know what concerns NSF had with it later, and reviewers. So we don't put proposals out on our website. That's part of the reason to come to the workshop. But we do provide not only examples of ones that we can discuss at the workshop, but we give some to your mentor that they can share with you and work through some of the additional ones too.
Okay, so I guess you answered that one about where are there force funded projects. We don't have those listed, but what I can say is that we did this kind of before we were, we call it pre-force, before we were force. We had 11 teams apply and 8 got funded. We're still waiting to see who will get funded. I had a direct message, which I will answer in a minute about force, but I want to see if we have any other public comments here. Oh, HCC is Hudson County Community College. I actually have been there, and my husband is from upstate New York, so that's nice. And I've actually sailed on the Hudson River Sloop all the way up to Poughkeepsie, so I'm very familiar with that. So very, very nice. So I'm not seeing any other general questions. If I missed it, please, could you just put it in the chat again? And while you do that, I'm going to go out to the website and get the link to CCPI STEM, where you can find the slides for this webcast. Give us about a week for the audio and video recording, but I will put the slides up there right after we're done. That's part of my job on CCPI STEM, to keep the website up to date. Okay, so I'm gonna put this in the chat here.
Okay. The flyers. I'd like to give a particular welcome to the gentleman from Germana. I don't think NSF has ever even gotten any proposals from Germana. I'm at Lake of the Woods next, you know, very close. So if you want to have us come in and chat with you, that'd be fun too.
Yep, I'm going to put the flyers in the chat for, I'm going to put Mentor up first. Just give me a moment here. I guess you guys get to see how messy my organization is here, because I'm still sharing, we're still recording. So this will be fun. Okay, we're down here in webcasts. And today is March 8th, and here's the Mentor Up flyer. So that's going in. Let me send that. And let me do the Force flyer as well. And here we go. So those are in there. Thank you, Dr. Tellis, for that reminder. Okay, any other questions that come in? I do want to answer the private chat there. Somebody sent something to Force about their CIT program being reorganized or refreshed, and Force would be really happy to help you with that. So
a lot of our things, our refreshing programs, are ones that are kind of underfunded, that they've got some new ideas about how to recruit students to these programs. So I don't know if you, program improvement, what you call, is a big emphasis, or we have a lot that come in from that standpoint.
Okay. Any other questions? Is any of my CPI STEM colleagues see any other questions I may have missed?
Certainly hope we start hearing from you soon.
Absolutely.
Don't wait till April 1, okay? Sometime.
Okay, so Terry, if Terry's still on, is there a rubric for Force-funded projects? We'd like to submit a proposal for this October. What Force does is we have a Canvas, a shell, and we have a lot of resources in there. We have templates. We have all the forms that Dr. Tellis was talking about. We have examples of redacted proposals that were funded. So I wouldn't say that we have a template, but we have tremendous resources, experience, and we know how to help you submit a competitive proposal to the NSF-ATE project. Okay, I think I answered that. Somebody said, thanks, very interested, might have to wait until April 2024. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
I mean, you can go ahead and submit and tell us it's gonna be next year, so.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not seeing anything else. I'm gonna stop sharing the poll questions. I just want to thank everybody for filling that out. That helps us. Don't need to be seeing the Force website there.
Thank you so much for all of y'all attending today too. We really appreciate it.